The rest of the story. This is a complicated case, but I'm going to do my best to distill the essence for you. Kentucky plantation owner named Robert Matson. He went across the state line and bought some property in Coles County, Illinois. Matson wanted to farm his land. He wanted to use some of the slaves from his Kentucky plantation to do it. Now, here's the catch. Kentucky obviously was a slave state, but Illinois was a free state. You could not own slaves in Illinois. But Robert Matson got around it this way. His slaves were not permanent residents of Illinois. He said they were Kentucky slaves, brought in from Kentucky each spring to plant the crops, and then sent back to Kentucky after the harvest. To make extra certain there was no confusion, Matson even summoned witnesses to his Illinois farm every year to vouch for the true residency of his slaves, and he got away with this for 4 years. But this is the rest of the story. One of Bob Matson's slaves did not return to the Kentucky plantation each autumn. His name was Anthony Bryant, and he stayed on Matson's Illinois farm until the spring of the fifth year, when he, Bryant, went to the nearby town of Oakland and enlisted the aid of abolitionists, and they informed him that because he lived in Illinois, he was technically a free man, and if they, the abolitionists, could only find the right lawyer, they just might get the rest of Matson's slaves freed as well. Well, when the Kentucky slave owner got wind of this, he frantically prepared to defend his property, and his own legal strategy was ingenious. First, he got the slaves on his Illinois farm declared runaways, and he parked them in the nearest jail. Well, legally, technically, they were runaways, you see, because they were slave state slaves far from home and possessed no certificates of freedom to justify it. Meanwhile, the abolitionists sought an impressive attorney to help them free Matson's slaves. Considering the legal obstacles before them, they would need a good attorney. The proceedings began October 16, 1847. That was a Saturday night of old times. By then, the Matson slave case had attracted much attention, and the Charleston, Illinois courtroom overflowed with emotionally charged spectators. Attorney for the abolitionists cited the Ordinance of 1787 and the Illinois State Constitution, both of which, the lawyer argued, suggested Matson's slaves were free men. Now, there's been some criticism in historical retrospect of this attorney's failure to cite legal precedent in addition, but whatever he said in that courtroom must have been enough, because the court ruled that Matson's slaves should be and remain free and discharged from all servitude, whatever, to any person or persons from henceforth and forever, end quote. The abolitionists had won. And to no small extent, they and the black men and women they freed had a bright young barrister to thank for it, an up-and-coming Illinois attorney named Orlando B. Ficklin. You never heard of him? I didn't think so. But it is interesting. The opposing counsel in that historic case, the opposing counsel, slave owner Robert Matson's enthusiastic attorney, the 38-year-old lawyer who used every argument he could think of to keep Matson's slaves in slavery, that was Abraham Lincoln. And now you know the rest of the story.